Well, good morning. It's great to greet you this morning. It's great to welcome you. Welcome to church. Welcome to this opportunity to gather together as a community and as a family. And somehow, we've hit September. So if you've had a holiday, I hope it's been great. I hope it's been restful. I hope it's been relaxing. If it's still to come, because you get that really cheap holiday, because everybody goes back to school this week, you're nearly there. You're nearly there, okay? And for those of you working in education, bad luck. We pray for you, we love you as you go back this week. Next Sunday is actually Education Sunday across the church in the UK, so I'm sure we will find a way to consider that and to pray for those of you in education next Sunday. But if you're going back during this week, you're in our thoughts and prayers. As we move into this month, we look at a new holy habit. As we said last time, that doesn't mean that biblical teaching or prayer goes out of the window. We look at how those things link to each other. And this month, we will look at serving or service. So let's remind ourselves again of those five key verses that come in Acts. They're going to come up on the screen. Let's share these together, shall we? Please join with me and read these five verses together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. We thank the singing company for introducing us this morning. We say particular welcomes to Sabrina, who's back with us, and Davide, who's flown in especially from Italy to listen to me this morning. Welcome back. And if you are also visiting us, you are so very welcome this morning. Let's share together, shall we? Let's stand if you're able. Let's sing a song. This is all about joy. Let's bring joy into this place this morning and make sure we take it out with us at the end, shall we? Please stand. Let's sing this song through together. Nice, quick tempo, please, Dad.
Let us pray. Holy Lord, the God that hears our prayers, you have said that you will be present whenever two or three gather in your name. We welcome your presence in our meeting this morning. As we feel your presence in worship today, may our knowledge of your divine mysteries continue to grow and change our lives.
We pray for our core here in Felixstowe, for the children and young people, that they will continue to develop in their faith and understanding of you. Help us as a core to nurture this. For the volunteers who serve and come into contact with those within our wider community, fill them with your love and light so that they may illuminate the lives of others. We pray for our town of Felixstowe, the people who live in our town and for those who visit. May this be a place where Jesus is at the centre to transform their lives. We pray for the United Kingdom, for our leaders and the significant decisions for our country. For the diverse communities within the UK, give the different groups within them gentleness, compassion and tenderness. For the Salvation Army UK territory, we pray for those who are working to tackle human trafficking and to restore broken dignity.
We pray for our world. For countries who are at war, we pray for peace. For the persecuted church, we pray believers would know the hope God gives and that the Holy Spirit would strengthen them to share the gospel and be fearless to tell others about Jesus. For the Salvation Army internationally, bring into the world that is hurting, broken, lonely, dispossessed and lost a mission that will show your love. May the transforming Jesus bring freedom, hope and life. May the vision of one army, one mission, one message communicate Christ unashamedly, reaffirm our belief in transformation and evangelise and disciple effectively. In the powerful name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.
There we go. See, if there was better planning, we would be able to do this. I can do that next time. Okay, right, okay. So, we're not going to do any of this spontaneous stuff because the spontaneous stuff, it never works. We all know it doesn't work, so we're not going to do that. So, okay, I've planned everything, so you're welcome in advance. So, first of all, we need to just sort something out. There's nothing in the slot from 2:47 p.m. to 3:15. Now, those 17 minutes or so, they are vital, okay? Because we would have just finished the group toilet stop, which I'm guessing is going to take quite a long time because there's a lot of people coming, and that's fine, you know, take your time. But be precise, you know, no longer than 2 minutes in there, I'd say. So after that, I was thinking we could have a quick, like, sing, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 songs. We all love a sing here. I'm saying my dad and Simon can reprise their Can You Feel the Love Tonight? See me later for pictures if you want that. Band can sing some songs, everyone. If you've got any song suggestions, come see me afterwards. That would be very nice. Nobody has, well, we've got to do the food, obviously. We can't not bring food. Everyone has to bring at least 3 items, okay? No more than 3, at least 3 items. Oh, wait, that would mean more than 3, sorry. My brain is a bit frazzled. I've got too much to think about. So, we need, nobody has volunteered to bring any fish paste, okay? So, we need fish paste. So, anybody want to bring that? No? Thank you, John. That's, you know, I love him for that. You can have a free cake at my cafe next time you come in, okay? So we need at least also 13 bottles of hand sanitizer, because I'm not being funny, the germs are everywhere these days. So does anyone want to bring 13 or like just like a little bit less? Any hands? Annette, you'll bring it. Love her. Thank you so much for that. But okay, we also need crisps, lots of crisps. I recommend Wotsits. I feel like Wotsits are the best ones. Anybody want to do that? No one? Well, I'm very disappointed. Oh, thank you, Sabrina. Thank you. Yep, you'll bring those. Okay, but I just need to make a quick announcement. Nobody needs to bring any more Jaffa cakes, okay? Because we already have 164 boxes that have been donated, okay? We don't need that. I've seen how many my brother can eat. I mean, he'll eat 100 boxes if he wants, but we don't need any more than that. No more than 40, I'd say. Everyone can have at least one or something. I don't really know. So, got to go back to the rota. Who loves a rota? I know I love a rota. So somebody needs to look after the pets, okay? So far on the pets, you've got to let me know if you're bringing your pets. But so far on the list, we have 2 hamsters, 5 gerbils, 1 dog, and 7 goldfish, okay? So does anybody want to do that? Susanna, you can do that, because she loves her pets. Right, okay, well, that's fine. We need to pick up our litter as well once it's gone. We've got to be saving the planet, because it's going a bit downhill, really, isn't it? But we need to bring that. So bring your own plastic bags, okay, just to throw away, because I'm not supplying them, because, well, frankly, I'm 17, I'm not going to bring all these plastic bags, so you can bring your own. What else, Oh, we need a first aider. Who here is good at with plasters? Plasters, wet paper towels? Libby, you work in the school. Yeah? You can bring the plasters and the wet paper towels. We need that. What can we do? Oh, we also need phone chargers. Although I don't think anybody should personally be on their phones because I think, you know, we're going to be out in nature. You need to not charge your phone. But Ben, you can bring some chargers. And yeah, I think that's everything. I don't know if I've forgotten anything, but if I have, just come see me after and yeah, we'll sort that all out. So yeah, thank you. Just make sure you're there.
Wow, did you get all of that? So much planning. But a bit like in the story of when Jesus talked to Martha when he visited her house and she was preparing dinner. So busy and lost in getting everything ready, she was actually missing out on what was actually happening. It's easy for us to be like that sometimes, overplan and overthink things, maybe so obsessed with making sure everything is just perfect that we actually miss out ourselves. If we're the kind of person who likes to be doing, it can be difficult to make space, to balance our serving roles, to balance us helping each other with the times that we receive. What might that look like for you?
Announcements. It may look like it, but I have a special act to do this morning. You'll know that for many, many years, you would see the back of Neil Winton as he conducted the songsters, and year after year he'd stand and you never knew what he looked like because his back was to you. Well, came the point where we lost his back because he got a new job, and he got a job that takes him all around the world. At the moment he's in India. Yeah, he's in India, and then he's coming back, but he's going off to Jersey. He's everywhere, so he could not take control of the songsters, never being at practice. So we were very pleased when Kevin said, "I'll take the job on temporarily." That's a lovely word in the Salvation Army. This morning it's my privilege to make him permanent, and I'm going to invite, if he can come round at this moment, and it's my privilege to commission Kevin as the songster leader. And there's some instructions on your commission. They're not from your wife, they're from the divisional commander. And it says, you will be expected at all times and in all circumstances to be an example and a leader to those around you, giving due attention to the ministry of evangelism. May God give you great joy in this work and an ever-widening sphere of influence in the interest of his kingdom. And that is signed by our divisional commander. So it's my pleasure to commission you, Kevin Gray, as the songster leader of the Felix Del Four. Would you welcome him into this position? And now, what better thing to do than see what he can do with the songsters? And I know it's going to be good. We're going to sing "I Will Come and Bow Down," the songsters.
There is nothing, there is no one who compares with you. I take pleasure in worshipping you, Lord. Thank you, songsters, very much for that lovely reminder. It's that time of the meeting where we will say farewell to our young people who will leave us for Sunday school and for youth. But before they do, let's just pray for them, pray for their teachers today as they go and learn more about the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we are blessed with these children who come within our church family every week. We pray that they will have their minds and their hearts open to your word today, and we pray your blessings over those who will be teaching them too. We pray for those children too who come into our church building during the week through explorers and through mums and tots and through lots of other different ways. We just pray too that during those times when those children are in this house, that they will feel your love and your care, and their parents too. Lord, I just bless them now as they leave us for their teaching. Amen. And while they leave, we'll take up your offering, please. And while we're taking up the offering, the band are going to play to us the lovely tune of the song, The Servant King. Thank you.
Shall we pray? As we listen, Lord, to that music, and we remind ourselves that you are servant king, we remind ourselves that what you mean to us. And so this morning, as we have given in our offering, we ask again that we will give it with grateful hearts, and that you will receive it from us, and that you'll help us to use it wisely for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Well, I think we've said hello to Sabrina. Hello, Sabrina. Davide, let me have a look at you. I can't find you. Handsome boy. Lovely. Nice to see you. And I've learnt to say your name properly. It's taken 10 years, but I've got there. Davide. And it's lovely to see you. Also, see the Rutherfords come back from their trip to America. And welcome back. We missed you. If you've been away, I've still missed you, but I've forgotten your name. Okay, sorry. Following our worship, you're invited to join us for tea and coffee in the community hall. Please take opportunity to do that. Just after 12 o'clock on the triangle, the band will be holding a short open air. And then this evening at 5:30, Gemma will be leading us again in one of our Sunday evening worship. That's at 5:30. Everyone is invited to come along to that. You'll see the brochures a bit, although I don't ever buy the Sunday paper, I do see them. It's as thick as the Sunday paper, isn't it? It's getting bigger and bigger. There's so much going on, and it's lovely to know that. So please take it home, read everything from the front to the back, and then you won't miss anything. But lads and ladies, your Bible study recommences on Thursday at 1 o'clock, and just to remind you, it's first sat cafe on Saturday too. On the 14th of September, we have the Suffolk Historic Church cycle ride. If you want to sponsor anyone, there is information on the notice board about that. You'll see also that you can have a free health check. And if you read page 4, I think it is, of our brochure, you'll get all the details about the community wellness morning that's taking place on Saturday the 14th as well. As Simon mentioned, next Sunday evening at 6:30 at St. Andrew's Church is the Prayer and Praise for Education Sunday. We don't have a meeting here, so if you want to go along and support there, please do. That's at 6:30. Finally, the big collection is round the corner, and we've done really well with our total. We're getting well over £5,500. We've just got a little amount to collect. So I'm asking you if you can do your street or a few streets around where you live with envelopes or boxes, then just to help us get this extra bit of the total so we can say we've made a success. Some people have already put their name on. As you go out, there's a little table with the signing on form there. Please read it and sign on and help us to do that. And it's good to know that Les is back with us. Les, well done, Les. Nice to see you. And Marion Cracknell's doing very well at home. She's now beginning to annoy Dennis, so that means she's well on the way. Marion Versey, what did I say? Sorry to start rumours off there. But it's nice to see you as well. I hope you're better. And, of course, Roy is back with us now, and he went into hospital with some pains in the chest and stayed over 2 or 3 nights, but he's now back home. So thank you, Lord, for answered prayer.
Thank you, John. It's your turn to sing. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing a lovely song, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, truth, faith in you. We'll stand, we'll sing all 3 verses straight through, please. And then after that, Trevor, Dad, will bring us the Bible reading from John 13. Let's stand together and sing.
Thank you. The Bible reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, entitled Jesus Washes His Disciples' Feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
Thank you, Trevor. It won't have passed by, I'm sure, that the month of service happens to tie in with the big collection. Just an avenue in a way that we could serve within this church. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes, is it, to go door-to-door collecting? It's becoming more and more difficult. But if it's something that you are able to help with, I know that John would really appreciate that support. I thought this morning it might be helpful for us, and perhaps insightful, to meet a few people from the congregation who really do serve in different ways. And so we're going to go a little bit Parkinson or Wogan or whatever you would have used for chat shows. We're going to ask three people to come up this morning. Chris is going to interview these people. So Glenys, Claire and Angela are going to come join us. And Chris, come and join us as well. And we thought it would be interesting just to hear a little bit about some of the activities that they are involved in and the way that they can serve with their faith. Thank you.
Well, I feel very honoured to be Wogan, or I don't know, yeah, I'll go with Wogan. I think he was a legend in my time, so that's really good. So it's great. I'm obviously going to chat and introduce members of our congregation that you may not know what role they have within serving. And can I just say, for one of them, they've been out partying till 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're really lucky to have her here today. But I'll let her tell you a bit more about that as we go along. So would you be happy just to sort of introduce yourself and the role that you have that we're kind of be thinking about today in the way that you serve others? And if you're happy to pass the mic down.
Hi, I'm Major Glenys Askew. I'm a force chaplain to Suffolk Police. I cover the stations at Bury St Edmunds, the police investigation unit at Bury St Edmunds, Rowan House, which deals with the delicate cases that the police deal with, and also I'm chaplain to the control room at Force Headquarters.
I'm Angela Pilborough, and I'm one of the town pastor's team that go out in Felixstowe on a Saturday night to help people just have fun, party, keep them safe.
Or rescuing those who've been partying, probably.
I'm Claire Jessop, and I am the coordinator for the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter. I definitely wasn't out partying until 4 o'clock this morning.
I think we've all worked out that Angela is the party animal. Well, Claire, if we stay with you for a moment. Okay, so Claire, in your role then, yours is a paid job. Yeah, so you're working for a charity that obviously covers the Ipswich Night Shelter, but also other aspects, I think, than the... but the key area is the Ipswich Night Shelter, working with other churches. So how do you feel... Well, do you feel like God has placed you in this role? And how do you feel like you're helping to serve perhaps his mission on earth? Or how do you feel like you're helping to serve other people?
Absolutely, God placed me with Selig and the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter. I was in a previous job and the contract had come to an end, and I was in the middle of doing my job seekers application form, and I just happened to make a comment to Julia Hancock, who manages the charity, and she said, "Oh, we're recruiting, apply to join us," and I did, and here I am now, nearly 2 years later. I've forgotten the second part of the question.
Just, do you feel it's kind of, you know, what do you do to help sort of help people to serve, you know, in a kind of Christian way?
Yeah,
in your role?
So it's a Christian charity, and our faith and our belief is the undercurrent of absolutely everything we do. The Night Shelter is held in church halls, sometimes in church buildings. Bramford Road Salvation Army in Ipswich was one of our venues for the winter just gone. And we always start with prayer before the guests come in. We pray before, we say grace before food. And it is no secret that the staff members, or the vast majority of the staff members, and a lot of the volunteers are Christians. And it says in Matthew's Gospel, I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. And it's just meeting those basic needs. Is the very least that we can do.
Fantastic, thank you very much. We'll come back to you in a second. Okay, so Angela, of all the roles that God could have placed you in, or what are those roles that you feel, you could be doing with that time, that precious time when you could be asleep, why be out on the streets at, you know, working to help people who are out clubbing and partying? There's this world going on that some of us, apart from obviously John Mooring, might be aware of the nightclub lifestyle going on out there. But it's that role. Why that role? It just seems a bit, you know, we could do something nice and comfortable. But why be out on the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I find it's an amazing experience. You put on this high-vis jacket that says Town Pastors, and people will just come up to you. And you have an opportunity to talk to people you just wouldn't have had a chance to talk to before. Whether it's people who are at the boardwalk and, you know, they've come for an evening out, or the security guards, or the restaurant owners, or the taxi drivers. And I just get the chance to talk to all of those members of the community that I just wouldn't have a chance to otherwise.
Do you get the impression that this might be, for some of those people, their only one contact with church, in inverted commas, or somebody coming from a church-organised thing? Do you think for a lot of them, it may be their only main contact?
Could well be, yes, it could well be. But they recognise us and look to say hello, and welcome us into the community on a Saturday night.
Fantastic, great. So, Glenys, now chaplaincy, I don't know, this word chaplaincy has become a really more a kind of a prevalent thing, I think, within general community. Simon works in a chaplaincy role and encouraging chaplaincy within schools. You know, Josh Hunt, who will be, I think, leading the education service, praise service next week, is a chaplain. Now, Glenys, for the police, what does chaplaincy mean for you? Now, I'll ask you, what do you think it means, and we'll think about what other people think of it. So what do you think it means being in the police and being a chaplain?
Chaplaincy means being available to anybody in the workforce that needs to come to speak to somebody who is totally independent of the hierarchy in the police. So it means that you can talk on a personal level, it means you can talk on a spiritual level if they ask it. You're not allowed to proselytize as a chaplain, so you have to wait for the opportunities. And they invariably happen every week when you go to visit people.
So I know you'll get really embarrassed by this, and because one of the things is, actually, sometimes, do we ever get any feedback? I mean, Angela's spoken about the immediate feedback that you get when you're out there with the Freddos and you're out in the streets, literally at moments of need for some people, just that sense of care coming for them. But also for Glenys. I know she'd be embarrassed, but Glenys actually won an award and was recognised for the work that she'd been doing in chaplaincy within the police force by the Southwark Constabulary. And I grabbed a couple of things because she wouldn't want these to read out, but I'm going to read them out anyway for you. So the question I'm going to ask you in a minute is, what do people think of the work you do? So I'm going to tell you some of the things that people have said about her. So this came from somebody who nominated Glenys, who put a comment in for her. And said, Glenys is one of the original chaplains and has served in two of our main stations here in Suffolk between 2004 and 2010, Lowestoft and Bury St Edmunds. She was an excellent chaplain and was extremely well-liked by all staff. She has all the requisite skills to continue her chaplaincy in Cambridgeshire. Our loss is your gain. I wish her and you all the success in the future. So that's somebody saying, as Glenys went into Cambridgeshire, this is why you should have her doing this role. And then the Suffolk Constabulary, when you're back there, because you're back in Suffolk, aren't you? Which is good for Suffolk. This is in the programme from the awards ceremony, and it said, Major Glenys Askew visits the police headquarters and Bury St Edmunds. She always spots a new face and makes a special effort to talk to colleagues. She is a good listener who genuinely cares about staff, taking the time to pop her head into every office. Colleagues say that Glenys makes them smile, is very approachable, and they can always talk to her. Glenys is a knowledgeable and interesting lady to talk to and who is extremely caring. So that's what they've said about you, so sorry to make you blush. So what else, what other feedback do you get? How do you feel about that? And do you feel like you're getting that feedback back? How do you sort of judge how well you're doing with your chaplaincy role?
It's not going into a role as chaplaincy and being miserable. So you have to smile. And in the world of the police at the moment, there's not an awful lot to smile about. So hopefully when I go in, it is a question of bringing a little bit of me and making them aware that there are things to be happy about in this world. We all have reason to be grateful that we have a police force. Unfortunately, there are so many pressures, and I see them on a day-to-day basis whenever I go into the police station, because there aren't enough men and women about to do their job properly. And so they need your support, they need the support of the chaplains, and we are fortunate in Suffolk to have a chaplain for every sector, which is 14 sectors within the Suffolk Constabulary.
Is there one thing that we should pray for? Would you like us to add to our prayer lists to do with your role within the chaplaincy, or maybe for the people that you care for, that, that the sort of pastoral area that you're in? What would you like us to add to the prayer list?
I think the main prayer is to be for the police personnel and what they have to put up with. I've had the opportunity of going out on shifts with police personnel, and some of it is not nice, and being involved in some of those, the very first instance of going out on beat, I encountered a man threatening his wife with a 12-inch knife, and I was allowed to watch what happened and the way that they dealt with it, and it was very, very humbling to think that I was then to go back in the car with this policeman and talk through that to make sure that he was okay.
Thank you. Angela, for you, I just would like to ask, are there any tough moments when you're out there? Is there any moments where you feel the prayers from the prayer station really supporting you? Have you come across those moments where you feel that it's been quite a tough role to be in as a pastor out there working overnight?
I think, as you said, it's the knowing that we're surrounded by prayer is so good, and the tough things are meeting people who are homeless, and but you phone in and ask for prayer, and when you come across people who are in need, maybe they're angry or upset, and asking for prayer, and knowing that you're surrounded by prayer and you're taking prayer out onto the streets and helping people practically, but also in that way through faith.
So the same question to you. Although you've got these prayer warriors, with you on those nights, what can we do to involve in our prayers for the work of the town pastors?
I think the prayer I asked for this morning is that there are more town pastors, that more people feel called to do this, to help grow the team, so that we can continue to support the people of Felixstowe.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, so Claire. So obviously we're entering, gorgeous summer evenings and, you know, all that time. So you guys are obviously getting prepared for working with the upcoming winter. I'm kind of, as I've heard you speak, I get this sense of feeling that you're actually kind of acting as facilitators to enable all these churches in Ipswich to care, to wash the feet, to cover those needs for those people that is very immediate over those kind of months. So a question to you is, why has God placed you there in that sense? Do you feel that, you know, that there is that great need? Is the need there for you? And, you know, what can we pray for as well for your work and for the work of the Ipswich Night Shelter?
There absolutely is the need for the night shelter to be running in Ipswich. And yes, the churches that we work with that host the shelter, they help us with the practicalities. You know, they have a shower and they have the toilets and they have the space and they have a kitchen. And I think that just seeing, you know, grown men who, you know, between the hours of 9 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night, when they come to us at 7 o'clock at night, during those hours in the day, you know, they have a persona and they have a character to uphold, and then they come straight to the shelter and they go and get straight in their pajamas, and these are these grown men covered in tattoos with whatever history, whatever past, but they're all sat around the dinner table with all of our volunteers in their pajamas, in their slippers, eating dinner with the rest of us, and it's the best feeling in the world. Prayer-wise, I would... So, like you say, we're starting to put things into place for opening the shelter kind of early winter time. So I definitely ask for prayers of logistics, you know, putting the final pieces of the puzzle in with venues and volunteers, training, that kind of thing. And then just a safe passage through the night shelter season. But we have 250 volunteers and they're all amazing and we couldn't do it without them. So a prayer of thankfulness for them as well.
Could you just join me in prayers? We just would like to just pray for the work that is represented here, if that's okay. And obviously we can take that way into our own personal prayer times as well. So if you join me in prayer. Lord, we sort of understand the challenge that's out there in the world today. We understand that there is a need for us to live like Jesus in so many ways. But that, in essence, of serving others, to wash the feet, to look after the needs and tender those needs for those who are in need, is great today as it was 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, I just pray for the work of the police force, and I pray for Glenys, that in her role as chaplain, that your Holy Spirit will guide her to those areas of need, to find the right words, or to actually sometimes just be the ear that listens to somebody as they talk things through with Glenys. But we do pray for our police force, Lord. They're there to help us and to protect us and to serve in areas where evil is present. And so we just pray that they have the strength to do their job roles, but also to know that somebody like Glenys and the other members of the chaplaincy team are there on hand to listen to them if they want to talk to somebody of faith. I pray for the town pastors and the work that they do here within our community, within Felixstowe. Again, another crucial role that keeps people safe, shows an element of Jesus in a place where they perhaps wouldn't experience it normally. So we pray for Angela and all the other pastors, Neil, who is also a pastor as well. We just pray for that team, that when they're out there protected by the Holy Spirit, that your presence is with them, that their prayers are answered, and for those who ask for it, that they are kind of met by a Holy Spirit-filled encounter. That perhaps just shows them what it means to see a different way or to feel safe in your presence. And Lord, we pray for Julia, for Claire, and for the team who are working for the Ipswich Night Shelter. We just pray for all the churches involved and the 250 volunteers, Lord, that are demonstrating your love to people who in society are often overlooked, not even seen, who have so many social and personal issues, that actually this respite during the most trickiest time of the year are met by people with faith, who have care, and again have a kind of enter a zone that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that they may encounter something different in their lives, which may bring them hope, which may bring them that first step to a different path, which could help make such a difference in their lives. We just pray for each of them and for their teams to have the energy to carry on with the positivity, with the nature that will make a difference in our world. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, ladies. Shall we give them a round of applause? Such a wealth of serving experience in just three people, and yet so many more of you are involved in serving as well. So just a snapshot for you this morning. You've been sitting for a little while, so if you need to stand and you need to wiggle and you need to wave your arms about to do it, go for it, because this is going to be a while. Here's a quote for you. Service is a hallmark of discipleship. It's a Christ-like way of living. Jesus pointed out that he came to serve, not to be served. And you're perhaps more likely to see this one at Christmas sometimes. But in John 1:14 in the Message, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Throughout the history of the church, Christians have grappled with how to live out the good news of Jesus, that the kingdom of God is both here and yet to come. Our calling as followers of Jesus is to proclaim the good news by living on earth as if in heaven. Every act of love, justice, and peace is a taste of how God's world is to be. We've heard some of that in those last few moments. We live this calling personally, we live it corporately as churches, and we live it this calling out in partnership with others too. Serving is best when it's mutual and reciprocal. We need to seek that Christ-like way of serving that is glad to honour others by receiving as well as giving. Now I wonder what you think of the word hospitality when it's said. It's something that we may well explore within another habit later on in the year, but it's something that links really closely to this habit of serving. The true service comes when people are side by side. There's a theologian by the name of Angie Shea Jones, and she says this. She does say, ministry cannot be done to a community by someone who knows what they need. It can only be done with a community by someone who shares their need. Think about that. Take that away today and chew over that one. You may not agree with that, but I found that a fascinating thought. And the author of Holy Habits, Andrew Roberts, when he was looking at that particular quote, then reflected on that with the following. Authentic and fruitful Christian service or ministry needs to be incarnate in, clothed in, sharing the life of the culture, context and community it is seeking to serve. Something to go away and reflect on in this week and in this month of serving. Do we reflect that as people? And another Christian sociologist, Anne Morrissey, argues that Christ-like hospitality is a radical action because the powerful host has all the obligations and the vulnerable guest, the stranger, has almost all of the rights. Perhaps think about that from a night shelter context. She says that true hospitality is never sold. Involves a friendly, caring spirit, is an obligation to be receptive to the guest's needs, and is an obligation to hear the guest's story. Can you say that for the way that you currently serve, if you serve? Is one of your motivations to hear that person's story? Or perhaps sometimes do we quite selfishly want to share our story first? Jesus gave so many examples in his ministry of service towards others. His life is an act of service. And his death on the cross is the ultimate sacrifice for and service to mankind. We've heard the story this morning of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Now, in the context of this gospel, we're at a point where Jesus has predicted his death. He will soon predict his betrayal, as well as Peter's denial of him. We're getting close to his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. And what does he do? He washes his followers' feet. This isn't the norm. Okay, at this point, this is not the norm. It probably would have been thought of with quite some concern that a leader like that would lower themselves to wash their followers' feet. Now, we're in first century Israel at this point. So we're in sandals territory. And not even like the cool kids do, socks and sandals or socks and sliders. This is bare feet and sandals on filthy roads, and I imagine pretty warm conditions. The communal meal, remember we looked at the table a few weeks ago, the communal meal would have been pretty low in height in terms of where they would have sat. So feet were definitely on view. Imagine the smell. Go on, imagine it. Humanly. Thank you. It's quite helpful, I would imagine, in that context that feet are clean. When people are sharing time together and sharing food together. So this concept of washing the feet is the job of the lowliest servant. Now, we're not actually told in this gospel if a servant is present or not. But Jesus takes that role upon himself. Can you imagine what the response of the disciples would have been like? How would you have reacted? How would you react now if someone you hold in very high esteem, maybe a boss, a really well-revered church minister, maybe John Ellison, comes and offers to wash your feet? What would your reaction be now? See, Jesus didn't come as the king and conqueror, but the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. Here's a takeaway, Chris, here's a takeaway for today. Go and read Isaiah 53 afresh. Go and look at that and meditate on those words. If you've been in a small group in the last month, we've suggested things such as the Swedish approach to reading the Bible, Lectio Divina, or the five W's. Have a look at those concepts and look at Isaiah 53 afresh again. Encourage you to consider in the last within that last holy habit how you can study the Bible and how you can look at it in different ways. Jesus' act of humility with the towel and the basin foreshadows his ultimate act of humility and love at the cross. And you may have seen this logo. Cross equals love. This is something that Hillsong Church in Australia, which is now worldwide, but this is their big campaign every Easter. Look for it when Easter comes around again. Peter's love for Jesus is evident. He's not happy about Jesus taking on this role. But Jesus says to him that he will understand more fully later. Now, some commentaries say that this possibly refers to after the crucifixion, resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. I imagine there's probably a good few sermons in just that part of this account alone. Peter's response, Jesus' response, and then how he explains this to him. So again, have a look at that for yourself in this month. Find a Bible commentary. They're also easy to find online if you have access to the internet. Have a look at this passage that we've looked at this morning. And in verse 12, Jesus asks his disciples whether they understand what he has done for them. And again, as with Peter earlier, this may not fully click until they see the cross for themselves or the risen Savior. Jesus shows true humility again through his actions. Now, a leader and a master of this time would not have done this in that tradition. He confirms to them in verse 13 that he is their teacher and Lord. So his understanding of teacher and Lord is perhaps slightly different to theirs and the context of that day and the culture that they're in. And then he expects the disciples to pass on that same teaching that he, their teacher and Lord, has done, both in word and in deed. That's the selfless love of God. The community that Jesus has brought into being is the love of God, and he's revealed that through serving one another with no trace of pride or position. Say that again. The community Jesus has brought into being is to manifest the love of God he has revealed through serving one another with no trace of pride or position. How does that sit with you? Do you serve with no trace of pride or position? There will always be recognized positions of leadership within this community, but the exercise of leadership is to follow his model of servanthood. The story of the washing of the feet shows a profound revelation of the heart of God. We see humble service, and we see the mission of the disciples to the world. Jesus is developing a community of humble, self-sacrificing love. That's something I want to be part of. What about you? Self-sacrificing, humble love within the community. As I prepared for this morning, I stumbled across some brief notes that scribbled in my Bible. This Bible I bought particularly because it has two columns either side, so there's an opportunity to write notes. And I found some notes when I was looking through one of the Gospels that I'd scribbled down when Richard was with us for one of Easter period in Lent. And I found this written in one of my columns. We should celebrate the love of Jesus. We should look at the humility of Jesus. Christ needs to live in us. It needs to be active. Probably my paraphrasing of what Richard said. But great, great words. I think it sums up service quite nicely. So really quickly, what are some of the qualities that a servant of Jesus might have? They don't have two masters. They serve God and God alone. They're willing to be the last. We read that in Mark 9:35. Anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. They're humble. They're willing to sacrifice. They're recognized by their actions. Think about the Good Samaritan. Go away and read that one again. They seek the eternal over the temporal. This is important, isn't it? The washing of the feet before that meal was temporal, yet the all-over washing was about eternal life with God. They set an example. That's what Jesus did. He set a great example. They put aside pride, and they show selfless appreciation for others. John 15:12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So as we look more closely at serving in this coming month, there is an expectation to serve. But please don't miss out. Remember the sketch that Jess brought to us. It's really easy to become obsessed with serving so much that we miss out. Annette referred to Luke 10, where Jesus visits Martha and Mary. Now, in the translation I read, it said Martha was serving so much, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, that she missed out on time with Jesus. When did you last miss out on time with God? When did you last miss out on time with God because you were too busy serving, organizing, structuring things? It's not an excuse not to serve, but I think it's a reminder that we need to serve from our sweet spot, from where our gifts and our skills collide, where they come together and we meet with God through our service for him. So let's ensure that we balance our serving with our receiving. We're challenged to reflect again on the way that we live and how we relate to others, as well as considering, importantly, the needs of our times. How can we respond most compassionately to others in today's world? How can we best put our faith into action now as individuals, together as a church, or with other churches in this community? This habit of service will be informed by the habit of biblical teaching. It'll be supported by the habit of fellowship, and it will often involve eating, another habit that we will look at soon. It's an expression of generosity, gladness and giving, and a natural outworking of prayer. Pope Francis once said, "You pray for the hungry, then you feed them." That's how prayer works. At the very beginning of the chapter relating to service in the original Holy Habits book, there's a wonderful reflection written by a young lady who encountered street pastors on a night out in Telford. Let me just read this to you as we come to a close. She called it "Someone to Watch Over Me." Oh, my ears, they hurt, because the beat's too loud. No, I've drunk too much, inside I'm not too proud. Lungs can hardly breathe, feel like a tub of lard. No one sees I'm scared, I'm really not that hard. Head spinning round and round, my head is thumping fast. Whatever's going down, I'm hoping it won't be last. Everything's a blur, don't really want to stay. To be with what occurs, just need to run away. Want me mum to hold, so my world won't crash. Want my dad to scold, when I'm smoking hash. My God, it's freezing out. How will I make it home? Who will take my hand? See that I'm all alone. Then I saw your face, glowing angel bright, offering tea and warmth, my dear Freda, in the dead of night. You held my eyes, touched my feet with love, wrapped me from the cold so I wouldn't feel rough. Then I looked again and saw my mother smile, saw my father's pride, not his backhanded bile. I never thought that I would ever see someone care enough to watch over me. You see, service is a hallmark of discipleship. It's a Christ-like way of living. Jesus pointed out that he came to serve, not to be served. I'm going to intentionally give you 3 or so minutes this morning just to reflect. We're going to put a video on. It's a song that I think you'll really know really well. A very old hymn, put to a slightly new setting. The words are beautiful in this. And I just encourage you to sit quietly. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to look at the words. Whatever is comfortable with for you. But to reflect on where your service sits currently. And how you serve God and how you serve this church. If you need to pray. If you would like somebody to pray with you. You are so welcome to come forward. If that's not comfortable in this moment, but you need that afterwards, there are people who will pray with you after our meeting has come to a close. But please do take that opportunity if you need it.
At your feet, it's treasure stored. take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today and think about this next holy habit of serving, may you open our hearts and our minds that we can lay all of our gifts before you and that you will take our gifts and use them. That we won't be too busy organising or arranging or fussing, that actually we will be able to take part and gain from you all that we need to while serving you and serving others. Help us, Lord, as a church and a community to come together. And help us just to keep our eyes and our ears open to all that is going around us to meet those needs of our community in Felixstowe. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this church abundantly and that we will all be there for each other to serve, to listen, to speak. And I just pray that we will keep our hearts and our minds open to your will. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to worship this morning. Our final song is song number 451. Would you be free from your burden of sin? And this song is based around 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, which say, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Let's stand together and we'll just sing the first and the last verse, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's share in a benediction together, shall we? This is a Franciscan benediction. May God bless us with discomfort, at easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our heart. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.